Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is. Happy Friday. Great to be with you on News Radio 930 WBEN 803-0930 gets you on the air. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Lots to get into. I just want to say for all of you who pointed out yesterday that, Joe, sounds like you're not feeling too good. I wasn't. I feel great today, though. Ready to get back to it and ready to kick off this weekend. And as I said, there's a lot to get to. A lot of stuff that I've been following over the last 24 hours, including this story here in good old Erie County. Now, disclaimer. I know that there are a lot of golfers out there. A lot of my friends are golfers. I've tried golfing. You know, there was a point where I got a beginner's golfing set. We're talking like 10 years ago, right? I really wanted to get into it. And I realized I suck at golfing, and my friends who do golf regularly, they don't want to waste their time, their tee time, their money to like give me lessons and train me how to golf. So I didn't want to, you know, tick them off or make them feel obligated to invite me. So, you know, I love putt-putt. I'm really good at putt-putt, but the full golf game, that's just not my thing. And you know what? That's fine. I do love tennis, and I wish I could I would get back into it, but I got to find someone who wants to play tennis at 8 in the morning. That's a different discussion for a different day. But this is nothing against golf. But Erie County, as we know, a few months ago, agreed to buy the Westwood Country Club from Amherst. Now, this is a site that Amherst tried and failed several projects, right? And it has been sitting empty on Sheridan, again, for at least the last decade. I mean, I remember when that place was open. I think I actually delivered when I had my last food delivery job when that place was open. But it's an eyesore on Sheridan Drive, another eyesore on Sheridan Drive. You know, we have Station 12. There's a few eyesores on Sheridan Drive. Let's just be honest. This was turning into an eyesore. They put the fence up because, you know, there were deer back there and they were running into the middle of Sheridan Drive. So Amherst couldn't do anything with it. They wanted to try the musical fair. That didn't get the approval. So Erie County comes swooping in and says, we'll purchase this and we'll revitalize the golf course. So Erie County now, yesterday, approved nearly $4 million to transform the Westwood Country Club. They've already sunk already had put aside $3.89 million for this project. So now we're talking over $7 million, actually closer to $8 million that will be spent on the Westwood Country Club in Amherst, New York. Now, the obvious part of this is half of Amherst doesn't want the county involved in this project. You know, Brian Culpa, I mean, he's kind of taken this as you saved him from another project that went south. So Brian Culpa obviously is applauding it. His deputy supervisor, who is now running for supervisor Sean Lavin, seems to be a fan of it. But if you ask people in Amherst, it's very split. Because now the county's taken over this golf course, and the county's going to make the money on the golf course. And this is the county executive who, you know, a few days ago was talking about how he doesn't understand. Look at the Buffalo News article and the rich people while SNAP benefits. Now, I mean, the county executive is a rich man. He gets overpaid for a middle management position. He has a vacation home in central New York. The guy's got money, okay? He golfs all the time. Now, why do I say this? Well, you're putting almost $8 million into a project that, how much of the county is going to get the benefits of this? I know there's a 5K running track there, because, you know, when I'm running 5Ks, I want to run the same track every day. I understand there's other stuff involved in this, but it's a golf course. It's a golf course, and who likes to golf? Mark Poloncarz and his rich buddies. This is like a side project for the county executive to put his name on a golf course. So this is the Erie County, where over 30% of the county is on Medicaid. 14% poverty rate, higher than the U.S. average. The household median income in Erie County, $7,000 lower than the American average. We've got poop in the water, as we talked about yesterday. We borrow money to do road repairs in Erie County. Yet we have the money to buy this project from Amherst for us, a 9-hole golf course. Again, in Amherst. So this is a project for people, not just people who live in Amherst. Let's be honest. This is a project who's going to be able to enjoy this. This is for people in East, not even East Amherst. I mean, it's on North Forest and Sheridan. This is where the county is putting its resources. While there are so many other things that just sit there empty, there are so many other parts of the county that are even worse eyesores than what this project's become. But the county executive, he's bailed out Brian Culpa, right? This is another Brian Culpa project that was going to go south. This would have been another strike for Brian Culpa. The county executive swoops in. He does a tee shot in the middle of the weeds. And he's gotten the legislature to approve almost $8 million to transform the Westwood Country Club. And I'm looking at all the stats. I'm looking at Erie County and where it stands in America. The poverty rate increased last year. The population has decreased. The median age has increased. Well, obviously that adds up. The median property value has increased. Congratulations to those of you who own a home. For those of you who don't, it's getting more and more unrealistic that you'll be a homeowner. The employed population declined in the last year. People are struggling in Erie County, right? Now, the county executive wants you to think that that's Donald Trump's fault. Everything bad is Donald Trump's fault. Everything good is thanks to Democrats and the county executive. But when you make decisions like this, $8 million for a golf course, to me, that just sounds like you are out of touch. And again, I have nothing against golfing. I am jealous that I am not a good golfer. I wish I was a good enough golfer where people would say, hey, Joe, we have a tee time 6 a.m. Saturday. That sounds fun, right? That's not me, all right? I don't golf. I can't do any of those early morning things, right? People like to golf and fish in the morning. I can't fish. I can't golf. But I would never be against something because I can't do it. This, to me, just seems like a waste of money, and it's a two-part project. It's to bail out Culpa, and it's a side project where Mark Poloncarz will probably put some plaque there as he was the first to tee off from the first hole once it was revitalized or restored. And with all these issues, it just blows my mind that this is the same county that we were delaying road projects because the Democrats and the county executive wanted to borrow the money to get road projects done. If you're listening to my voice right now and you've driven any road in Erie County, not just county roads, probably during this setup, you've hit some divot in the road. You've hit some pothole in the road. The county bickers about how they're going to fund that. That is a big discussion. And every year, it's the Republicans get blamed for delaying it because, you know, I think like most people, when they're dealing with their budget, would like to use cash on hand instead of borrow money and now have to pay more with interest when you pay it back. So road repair is always an issue. Every year, that is an issue. That's a spotlight in the Rath building. Now, twice getting money approved for a golf course in Amherst, no issues there. We got that right through, and we are going to make sure that we have, again, what is this, a 9-hole course, which is not even a full golf course, by the way, if you watch the PGA. I'm glad that I'm doing this on the day that Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out, by the way. That's only half a course. We're now close to $8 million approved from state funds. And I'm not seeing where this was a top necessity for Erie County. I don't think Erie County is in a position for little side projects. I think Erie County should be in a position to do whatever they can to make, I don't know, the roads better, to make emergency response better, try to address the poverty rate in your county. I mean, do you know how out of touch you sound when 30-some percent of your constituents are on Medicaid and you're throwing millions and millions of dollars at a golf course because your buddy, the supervisor, swung and missed so many times it was embarrassing? 803-0930, star 930. That's the phone number. It's also the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Now, the Erie County Parks Commissioner said, this is a once-in-a-generational type acquisition. The last time we had something like this was in the 80s with the Grover Cleveland Golf Course. And before that, it was 1948 with Akron Falls. Goes on to say, the former Westwood Country Club closed in 2014. Numerous plans came and went. And by the way, that could be the slogan for the last 8 years in Amherst. Numerous plans came and went. But many came under fire from local residents and ultimately went nowhere. More recently, Amherst Supervisor Brian Coppa shared plans to convert the property into public space, boasting a track for ice skaters known as the Ice Ribbon, a winter market venue, splash pad, accessible playground, music fair building, in the renovated clubhouse and relocated Buffalo Niagara Heritage Village Museum. But those plans ultimately proved unworkable, leading Coppa to reach out to Erie County for assistance in contributing to and taking over the park project. And you know, the king of party politics, Mark Poloncarz, would he have done this if Brian Coppa was a Republican? Would Clarence have gotten the bailout? Which, by the way, I don't think Clarence would have ever asked for a bailout from the county. But would Clarence have gotten the same treatment? Would West Seneca have gotten the same treatment? Orchard Park? No. But you couldn't get your detail and everyone to Westwood Country Club fast enough to put a tee in the ground and tee off at the Westwood Country Club. Nothing against Brian Coppa. We've always had nice conversations. I've got nothing against the guy. But man, he's had a lot of questionable development decisions. For someone who is an architect, he's had some questionable decisions when it comes to developments around Amherst, especially on Sheridan Drive. But I don't think it's the county's job to bail out the town, especially for something like this. Now, if you were going to do it for something that everyone could enjoy, something that would provide, you know, a ton of jobs. But for me, this is two things. It's the county executive bailing out someone from his own party, and he's a golfer, and he wants to have his name on a golf club. And I know he's not putting his name on the golf course. You get what I'm saying. He wants to be attributed to this golf course. 803-0930, star 930. Fred in Lancaster will kick off calls this segment. Fred, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, Joe, there's a reason why they only had done that three times in the last 80 years. It's because they're failures. Government should not be in the golfing business. I like bowling. Why aren't we building bowling alleys or movie houses or splash parks for the with government money? It's ridiculous. And you know what? Most of the people that are going to be using that golf course are going to be the one percenters. So I don't even know how this makes sense.
Exactly. It's all the people that Mark Poloncarz said are the reason for why the economy sucks so bad. They're the ones that are going to use this golf course.
Yeah. Let's vote for this guy. Vote him out of the state. And you know what? As far as Erie County, if our economic problems were due to Donald Trump, what about when Obama was there? It seems like we always have problems with blue states and the way they're managed.
Oh, yeah.
Just take a look through all the blue states and all the blue cities. They're all doing pretty bad. The red ones are doing okay. The red ones are above water.
Well, yeah, and Fred,
don't know how people can't connect the dots.
And that is why, you know, in the Big Beautiful Bill, Trump called out the states that can't get their project, their error under 6%. They're the ones that, yes, they're going to have to start paying for SNAP benefits. He's pretty much calling out the blue states that have been awful at budgeting. And you realize it's the blue states that are complaining about the cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill, because it's giving you an incentive to get your figure straight and keep your budget on track.
Well, good subject today, and keep it up. But someone's got to hold Poloncarz accountable.
Hey, Fred, I love it, and you know what? I also like bowling, but I'll keep it to the private business to actually manage the bowling alleys.
Bingo! It's called capitalism, not socialism.
Exactly, Fred. Thank you. And by the way, I mean, could you imagine if the county was in charge of a bowling alley? It would probably end up like that grocery store in Kansas City. Let's go to Andrea in Gettysville. Andrea, what do you think of this Westwood Country Club project?
The taxpayers are getting shafted again. This started out as the Amherst Central Park. And what people need to understand is the concept that Supervisor Culpa came up with has already cost the taxpayers well over $30 million. But they're not talking about that. They're not talking about the architectural costs, the legal fees that were involved in the original concept that he was doing. If you would see the plans for that, it's like the Champs-Élysées in Amherst, New York, is what he was developing. And on top of that, this deal, it's been done in secret for 1 year without anybody knowing about it. So there's the lack of transparency that we keep on complaining about. In addition, Poloncarz was supposed to give us, I think it was like $3.6 million, and then there was an additional $4.0 million. Dan Gagliardo made arrangements for the Jack Nicklaus group to come in. Now, Dan's running for town supervisor. He made arrangements for Jack Nicklaus group to come in and look at the facility. You know, they locked up the building to make sure that the whole park, to make sure that we could not get in there. And it was for a free estimate. However, we did walk around the property and we did, you know, get an estimate. We did bring it to Supervisor Culpa. They won't even listen to us. And what's going to happen is the Amherst is going to have lose home rule, and then you're going to have a golf course in Westwood, and you're going to have a golf course at the Audubon that are competing against each other. So this is totally ridiculous. And then you're hearing Kathy Hochul talking about that we're in the hole by $750 million. This is so wrong on so many planes. If they would listen to Dan and get the Jack Nicklaus group in here, we could save the town lots of money.
Yeah, and you know, the sad thing is, Andrea, is if Dan were to be victorious in November, he wouldn't be able to pull back on this because it would already be in the works.
That's a possibility, but you never know. Dan's a very resourceful man.
That's true. If he could get that money back for Amherst and make it profitable for Amherst, I think I think he'd have the residents on his side. Thank you so much, Andrea. Appreciate the call. Andrea in Gettysville. Frank, I want to give you enough time, and we have 10 seconds left in this segment. So if you hang on, we will start the next segment with Frank. Would love to hear from you. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on News Radio 930, WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to get new headphones, John. These ones are, it's only one ear or the other. I don't know if you saw me. Yeah, we're going to have to fix that. I should have been doing that this break, but next break, we got to get something to fix this. Anyway, it is Beamer on a Friday. Great to be with you. 803-0930, star 930. Talking about the county and taking over the Westwood Country Club. They're going to rename it, but that's what it was known as. Almost $8 million from the county now approved for this project. And on the hotline, we have the GOP candidate for Amherst Supervisor, Dan Gagliardo. Dan, thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Dan, you know, this project, obviously we've heard a lot about it. We heard all the stuff that Brian Culpa attempted with the plot. Now the county's taking it over. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, this administration, the Lavin Culpa administration, are willing to give away a piece of property that we paid $7.8 million for. And what people don't realize is that when you take in Amherst Central Park, it's over $20 million. So I can't even fathom why the county thinks or the town thinks that this is okay. Now, don't forget, I went and I had Nicholas Design come in here and take a look at this. We have an estimate to make this an 18-hole golf course. They're not even acknowledging it. They're pretending like it doesn't exist. They're not listening to the residents. And quite honestly, this is exactly what this administration has done. They are professionals at it. They know how to keep you from knowing what's happening and expect you to say it's okay. The county legislator made a huge mistake. I'm not standing for it. We need to be looking at this more deeply. We need to be looking to see if we could put it on the tax rolls. And if not, this should be a town golf course. The impact study that has been done is insufficient. They're not looking at what it's going to have to do with Autobahn. Our problem is they're trying to ramrod this through, and I'm not going to have it.
Now, Dan, the project you were looking at, was that a privately funded thing?
No. Basically, what happened was they announced this. I contacted Nicholas Design. Nicholas Design came. They wouldn't allow Nicholas Design to come down here and do an assessment. Well, they came down anyways. They did a peripheral view. But what they didn't realize is that the person who came down was here 12 years ago with Jack Nicholas and looked at Westwood. So they put together an assessment that came to $9 million at the worst case scenario to make it an 18-hole golf course. I gave this to the town. They have it. Lavin and Culpa have it. Nobody, not one of them, have responded. They've said nothing about it because this is the arrogance of this group. They think that they don't have to talk to you about it. Well, guess what? I'm not going away, and neither are the residents. This is what we should be doing. This is how we should be handling it. And I'm not giving up on this.
So, to your understanding, under this current plan now where the county's putting in millions of dollars, does Amherst get any benefit financially from the finished project?
We have heard nothing. We've not heard a cost to put this thing together. We've heard none of these things. This is exactly what they do. They throw things up against the wall and see what sticks, and that's it. Here's the difference. The $7 million that they have now authorized for county, I'll tell you what, town of Amherst will borrow that money. We'll make it our own golf course. We'll do something with Audubon and sell some of that property, and we'll make that our town golf course. How's that?
Works for me. I mean, this just seems like, to me, I don't know, Dan, to me it seems like it's the county executive, a Democrat, bailing out what would have been another failed project from Brian Culpa, a Democrat.
But they're not bailing anything out here. Here's the problem. They're doing this because we're giving away something that we paid $8 million for, and all-inclusively, we're talking about $20 million. Who in their right mind would give up 171 acres of prime real estate in Amherst and give it to the county? The county has their own problems. There's going to be a $750 million shortfall coming down the pike, and everybody's going to feel this. The county's not thinking. They're not using their head. And let me tell you something. The residents are the ones who pay for this. This is not over. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to fight this because the right thing to do is to look at the assessment, go out and see if we can get somebody to take it over for a tax base. First of all, keep it green, keep it a golf course. And if not, we will take it over. And they know this is the right thing to do, but it's an election year. So all of a sudden they're trying to do all these things and say, we're doing this, we're doing that. The residents of Amherst are not stupid. They could see through this. I have been to 7,500, I've knocked on 7,500 homes. And let me tell you, the number one thing that people talk about is why would they give this to the county?
It's a great question. You know, I have a question for you, Dan, as you're on the campaign trail, we got November coming up. I mean, these projects of Culpa's that, you know, haven't really panned out. I look at Station 12. I probably do a show on Station 12 every week. I mean, is that something that's weighing on the residents? And in your opinion, you're a business guy. Why haven't they worked out? Why do we have an empty plaza sitting on one of the busiest streets in Amherst?
Interestingly enough, we're starting to see that they've applied for a couple permits again. And it's in an election year. So I think that, you know, it's very odd that it's happening. But let's just take Station 12 for a second, then I'll get into the other ones. Station 12, they needed to be talking to these people all the time. They needed to be trying to get them to do something about it. Now, hopefully, I hope these developments that there are these people that want to come in want to do it. But let's talk about the fact that the assessment came down $3 million. Are they going to make sure the assessment goes up so the town of Amherst gets some of the money that they've lost? And with regard to Buff Boulevard Mall, they didn't understand what eminent domain means. They can't finish that project because they can't bond it. And the only person who got hurt there was Doug Jamal because all those people left. What about Gun Club? What about they bought it for $5.7 million? It was supposed to close in the first part of the year. It didn't. Now they're going to wait to the end of the year. And do you know that they took that $5.7 million out of the general fund? And now they're going to have to bond it if nothing happens by the end of the year. These are not business people. They don't understand their actions, and it's showing. They have so many businesses or so many projects that are not done. And the reason why that is because they're not thinking about what they do and how they do it. We need to get a business acumen in there, and we need to run this town like they run a corporation, and we need to make sure that we don't spend more than we make. That's how this stuff works.
Do you think the Boulevard project is salvageable? If you were to be elected in November, I mean, do you think there's a way you could get that back on the original track?
100%. And I'm going to tell you something. I have already been in contact with a couple people to talk to Jamal to try to do something with it. Because, see, I'm acting like I am the supervisor. Because that's how I do my own business. I'm assuming that I am the thing. So I'm talking to various people out there to talk to one another to see if we can make this thing happen. That's what should have been done all along. That's how you get things moving. You talk to the movers and shakers of the community. You see what you can do. You put people together because this is about consensus building. what has this administration, what has the Lavin Culpa administration done to build consensus? What have they done?
It's a great question, Dan. And I mean, you're up against the machine, but we'll be following it. Now, you still have the office down on North Forest and Maple?
I do. Yes.
So you're really close to the Westwood Country Club project.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not over. I'm telling you right now, we're going to fight this thing. We're going to continue fighting it. And we're going to, the residents are going to win this. I can tell you that much.
I'm telling you, it seems like there is a shift in Amherst to the people I'm talking to. And Dan, you know, I'm talking to independents too. I'm talking to some moderate Democrats, and it sounds like they are a little ticked off after the last two terms, and they're looking for some type of change. I mean, and just beginning with the things that you mentioned. I mean, just the wasteful spending, I think, has gotten completely out of hand in Amherst, and people are paying more now to live there.
It's a time for a change. We have to make sure that we take care of our essential services, get them back to where we are, give these poor people the equipment and the tools that they need. We need to get more police officers on the road. We need to make sure that we're being transparent, and we need financial stability. We need to make decisions based on sound business principles. That's who and what we are. And most importantly, we need to respect the residents' opinions, and we need to start listening to them more.
Dan, how do people get involved with the campaign?
They can go on my website. They can. There's a phone number on there. There's an info line. Just get a hold of me, and I'll make sure I get back to you.
All right, Dan, hey, appreciate you joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. That's Dan Gagliardo. He is running for Amherst Supervisor. He is the GOP running against the Deputy Supervisor, Sean Lavin. Obviously, we will put an invite out to Sean, have him on. That is one of the big races. You know, these odd year elections that Kathy Hochul is trying to get rid of. I mean, you see the spotlight on, you know, towns like Amherst, the comptroller's office, the city of Buffalo mayor. Like, I feel the odd year elections makes perfect sense. And you have people in Albany, you know, they think that it will benefit them. But let me tell you this right now. You look at some of the issues in New York State. You look at some of the issues in Amherst, in Erie County. I mean, we spent the whole first segment talking about the issues Erie County has. I mean, the county executive can do all he wants talking about the credit rating of the county and the unemployment rate that he's taking credit for some reason. But you look at all these issues the county has and where they're spending their money. And you just heard Gagliardo talking about where Amherst spent their money and what are they getting out of it? What is Amherst getting out of the money that they have spent over the last 5 or 6 years? And I'm sorry, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. If in your town, one of the busiest streets, especially busy during business hours, there is an empty plaza next to a partially ripped up field where an old car place is still sitting that was supposed to be demolished 6 years ago, that weighs on you, the person in charge. So, I mean, to me, in Amherst, you know, as someone who's from Amherst, and who knows, could very well be moving back to Amherst at some point. As someone who's from Amherst, it pains me because I remember a time, and you know, I always root for the best for Western New York. I have to say this every day. I root for the best for Western New York. I don't root for parties. I root for what's best for Western New York. I remember in Amherst when Sheridan, Eggert, and the Boulevard, that little intersection there, you had the Boulevard Mall down the street, always busy, right? I'd go in there, go to Lids, get myself a new hat, go to, you had multiple stores that actually sold Met stuff. And I loved that mall. That mall had everything. It had an Annie Ann's pretzel. Actually, it had an Annie Ann's pretzel up to a few months ago. But it had an Annie Ann's pretzel. It had an amazing food court. And then you would go down Sheridan, and you had the Northtown Plaza, where it had the old Bon-Ton where I saw LMFAO. It had, you know, the plaza next to Consumers, where there was a Radio Shack in there and everything. Then you had the TJ Maxx Plaza, which, you know, kudos to the people who owned the TJ Maxx Plaza. That's come back. You got Ross's, you've got Bob's Furniture. I mean, seriously, when they started Station 12 across the street, you still had TJ Maxx, Home Goods, and Toys R Us. Now, in the time that they've broken ground on Station 12, TJ Maxx, Home Goods has moved down the street. Toys R Us has been out of business. And all three of those properties have been repurposed as a Burlington, a Ross's, and a Bob's Furniture, and a Five Below's been added. So, I mean, it's just a bad look. And Amherst touted this project as how great this is going to be. And it's a swing and a miss. And now you've got At Home behind Whole Foods. They just filed for bankruptcy. So how much longer until it's just Whole Foods in what was supposed to be the next edition of shopping? Again, you had two popular retailers who aren't even in Western New York anymore because they bolted from the Galleria thinking they had Station 12 to land at. And you had L.L. Bean that was sitting there waiting and eventually said, yeah, we're moving down the street. There's nothing here. It's just not a good look. Like, and hey, I realize COVID. We all had to put up with COVID. Every supervisor had to put up with COVID. I get it. But 5 years later, and we're still begging for this one tenant that apparently has signed on to get in, it's a bad look. It's a bad look for your town. It's a bad look when the Boulevard Mall, which just 8 years ago was almost full capacity, now you drive through the parking lot at the Boulevard Mall and you got to go back and pick up your shocks. You know what I mean? Like, it's sad. It's sad. And I think Dan's right. When you're talking about a town like Amherst, you need some business sense. You need someone that thinks like a businessman or businesswoman. We've made Frank, hang on. Frank, you have until the end of the segment, which is over 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, good.
Please don't bring up the stadium. That's all I ask. No stadium talk today, Frank.
Okay. I'm always tempted. I wanted to say that using that area, that land there at the Westwood, seems just like amazingly uncreative to just come up with the notion of golf courses. Nearby is Audubon, Grover Cleveland, the Buffalo Club, Park Country Club, Transit Valley Country Club, Brookfield, Diamond Hawk, Grover Cleveland. The Kenmore has golf clubs, Orchard Park, Hamburg. East Aurora's got five country clubs.
Yeah, ton of places to golf.
There's enough places for good. I want to know, I'm a liberal Democrat, big time, and where are the Democrats to go ahead and come up with a better creative idea, and they're in control right now in Amherst, than golf courses? I mean, anybody who's not well-informed on public development could come up with, let's put a golf course. Golf courses do not create community. They don't create wealth. They don't create jobs. They're an ancillary activity that feeds off of whatever goes on else in the community. And I was thinking, like, you know, we need houses that don't cost $200,000. Like, maybe somebody could buy a house for $75,000 that's not a dump and might be brand new. Maybe we could partner and take, I don't know, 8, 16, whatever these amounts are when you add them all together that have been thrown at this project, could have gotten together with an organization like Habitat for Humanity, where that land, streets were built on it, homes were built on it, and those people would pay property taxes, and they would be able to get a home, and a new home that was built at a proper price that didn't cost $400,000. And not everybody has $600,000 to buy a house in Amherst, or $1 million, or $450,000, or some dump for $200,000. And then I don't know where you get the money to fix up the dump for $200,000. I guess you have to kill your grandmother to come up with the money to fix the place after you realize you bought a dump. And it's just unbelievable, the lack of creativity here. They already have a park that they're developing, and they're going to pretty much hand the keys over to Damon College off of Park Circle by Main Street near the Thruway interchange. That's a whole thing over there that some folks have been complaining about at board meetings. So they're already involved in
Frank,
park development.
But you're against the golf course.
Definitely against the golf course.
Wow.
Yeah, I just think
we
with all the
something.
Needs we have with housing and everything else going on in this
yes.
area.
But how do you bring, Frank, let me ask you this. How do you bring the cost of a house down? What? How do you do that? Because I agree. I mean, I'm 37 and don't own a home.
It would have been nice up until the last 6 months if we didn't have somebody who was putting tariffs. That's something that's going in the wrong direction, but that's more recent. The housing.
But it's actually cheaper to build a house now than to buy a house.
Yeah, I'm just I know there's a couple housing organization. I can't think of the other one offhand. Every once in a while, they get a hold of some property or some houses that they fix up. But Habitat for Humanity has like things that they've been involved with, and this other organization that I can't think of. They've built some wonderful homes that are like brand new, and I don't know what the people had to do that moved into them, but they look like they were people who normally would not have a shot at getting a home. Imagine if you had that whole Westwood area there was being developed in such a way, and it would be subsidized directly, you know, where the houses could cost less, and you'd build up a community, and people could actually have, you know, it would actually contribute to the community, not just be a golf course. We need a golf course. What did I list? I listed 11 properties I wrote down, plus the other 10 that I didn't write down.
Yes.
And golf courses, where are all my fellow liberal Democrats to go ahead and fight to say, let's do things that actually create community, that actually help people, that actually create wealth, give people a chance to have a home.
Well, Frank, look, I got to tell you, you and I don't usually agree, but I have to give you credit here, man. I mean, you're not looking at party, you're just looking at common sense, and I appreciate the input.
Okay, very good, sir.
Frank in Amherst went, let me tell you, Frank went a phone call without bringing up the Bill Stadium. You know what that means? That means, Frank, next time you call in, you get to the top of the list. I appreciate Frank. Frank and I don't see eye to eye. Frank, I mean, obviously, some of the housing stuff that he mentioned, this is something I wanted to get into, and maybe I will in the next segment. The difference between how the right and the left view earning a living, right? The right wants to make it possible for you to earn a living. A lot of people on the left just feel like everything needs to be a handout, and the government needs to help you in your earning. Maybe we'll get into that next segment, but I'd love to know your takes on this. 803-0930, star 930, Erie County, almost $8 million towards the Westwood Country Club in Amherst. You've got people on the right. You've got people on the left, both upset about this. How do you feel? Beamer on WBEN. Hey, we're 1 hour till the weekend. 1 hour till Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope your Friday's going well. You know, it started off a little dreary. We had some rain. Looks nice outside the window now. I don't know. It's nice out. Tanner's back.
Yes, it's nice out. I ran here, and it was a nice nice temperature for that. Not too hot where I'm totally drenched in sweat, but enough to get one working up for sure.
Nice. The rain's done?
No.
Oh.
No rain. Yes, it's done. No, there was no raindrops falling as I came in.
Beautiful. Nice night to grill here in Western New York. 803-0930, star 930, you want to get on the show. I've been meaning to say this. So Wednesday we had Mitch Nowakowski on, and again, thanks to Mitch, who... His birthday was yesterday, by the way. Happy belated to council member Mitch Nowakowski. He joined us for our first Democrat Wednesday elected Democrat segment. And as soon as that show ended, Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak has volunteered to join us this coming Wednesday for the elected Democrat segment here on the Joe Beamer Show. So... Over the weekend, maybe you're thinking of a question. Obviously, we'll ask him some Cheektowaga stuff. But what his take, you know, his take on Mamdani and a lot of things happening within the party. So if you have any questions that you want me to direct to Brian Nowak, you can email those to me, joe.beamer@wben.com. Again, the difference is on Wednesdays, you know, that's more of a I push back, more of a debate. Than on Hardline, you know, you
WBEN Buffalo.
You get the input. We get to see the other side. See, the whole point is, I don't want this to be an echo chamber. You get my opinions, right? You get all of our opinions. I want the other side. I want people on the left. I want you to be able to call in and give me your opinion as well. Let's have a back and forth. Let's see if we can find common ground. So I appreciate Mitch Nowakowski last week, and I appreciate Supervisor Nowak agreeing to come on this next Wednesday. And if you are an elected Democrat or just a Democrat who wants to talk for an hour and you want to sign up for one of the Wednesdays, let me know. joe.beamer@wben.com. So we've been talking about this Westwood Country Club. and the site that the county, again, has approved, close to $8 million. If I'm doing the math right, close to $8 million or $7 million toward the makeover of the property in Amherst. Again, this is a golf course. When we have a disclaimer, if you're just joining the show, I have nothing against golfers. I wish I could golf. I can putt-putt. I can play those putt-putt courses pretty good. But I'm not a golfer. But nothing against golfers. You know, I see you guys out there. It's pouring rain. And you guys are there on your golf carts setting up for when the rain stops or golfing right through the rain. I mean, you guys are nuts about it. And that's great. I love it. I don't think it's the business of the county. And especially a county that, let's be honest, has pretty embarrassing numbers. I mean, let's look at this. And I thank my sources for texting me this. When you look at counties ranked by income, Erie County is the 31st in New York. I mean, that's halfway down the list before you get to Erie County. Is that something to be proud of? That the median income, household income, is on the lower half of the state? The median income is thousands of dollars lower than the U.S. average. The poverty rate is higher than the U.S. average, yet we're going to take $7 million for a golf course. Why? Because the county executive likes to golf, or because a member of his party can't have another embarrassment when it comes to an attempt at a development project? 803-0930, star 930. And again, thanks to Dan Gagliardo for joining us. And we have an invite out to Sean Lavin. Love to talk with him. I mean, he is the deputy supervisor. And let's just be honest. Again, I have nothing wrong with Brian Culpa as a person. He's always been very nice to me. And, you know, you have to be able to separate the person from the politics, something that county executive doesn't know how to do. You have to be able to separate the person from the politics. I think some of the decisions that Brian Culpa has made have not been good for Amherst. And I think this is the Democrats helping each other, because I wouldn't see the county doing this if it was Clarence, if it was West Seneca, if it was Orchard Park. I can't imagine the county coming in to save the supervisor from another embarrassment. Let's go to Joe in Amherst. Hey, Joe.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
Doing all right, man. What do you think about all this?
Oh, my God, Joe. I could go on for your whole show. This guy, this Culpa and that whole board have done things that are absolutely borderline criminal. The lights, they put lights up, street lights, all through Amherst. Millions and millions of dollars were spent. Half of them don't work. When people are calling the number they've been given to get the lights repaired, no response. That's just one incident. It just keeps adding up. They have no concern. I was watching on YouTube the other night, the last board meeting. I have problems getting around, so I watch it on YouTube so I can stay informed. Sean Lavin was busy playing with his laptop. He didn't respond to one thing. The only time he responds is when he's got a vote with Culpa. The board is absolutely beyond control. They have to be replaced or nothing is going to happen. My wife and I bought a house here upon retirement. We always wanted to live out here because we thought it was so wonderful. Well, guess what? It was a major mistake with the way things are going. The other thing that nobody has mentioned, they don't care about housing. The guy you had on a little while ago who said, oh, we should be building affordable houses at $75,000. Yeah, well, have another dream. What they're building, take a ride up Transit Road. There are more apartment houses that have been built than you could shake a stick at.
I used to live in one.
Yeah, I know you did. they want us out, Joe. They don't want average citizens to own anything. This is the socialist approach. Get them out, put them into apartments somewhere, and that'll be fine. And knock down the houses or whatever the hell you want to do with them and build something else. I had a laugh when you said drive through the boulevard the Eastern Hills Mall parking lot and lose your shocks. We just did that. My wife and I just went there the other day. She had to go to Penny's. It was incredible. It was like an obstacle course.
It is. It's crazy. I mean, and I remember, you know, a decade ago where the parking lots were in good shape. You could walk in. You had a plethora of places to pick through. A working food court. It's really sad what these malls in the area have become.
What they did to the Northtown Plaza, the beautiful places that were there. There was a great Italian restaurant. There was a clothing store. There was all kinds of stuff. I mean, we used to go there on a regular basis. Gone. They moved all these people. For what purpose? To build what looks like military barracks? Give me a break.
Can you believe it in that time? Because I remember when the last place moved out of Northtown Plaza at the demand of the town, and they tore that down. Between that time, which I believe was 2018, to now, all we have is, like you said, we have a shell, but they haven't done anything, you know, on the inside because they have to wait for a tenant to finish the construction inside around the tenant.
I don't think anybody wants to go there. Who wants to do business in Amherst with these idiots? You'd have to be out of your mind to look at Jamal, this poor guy. They had a guy that was willing to spend some serious dough. They treated him so badly, he just backed out.
Yeah, and now that he's backed out on some of these Democrats, the smear campaign starting from the media. You just wait and see.
Oh, of course, I have no doubt about that. The Democrats should keep their mouths shut. They're baseline criminals, and I've seen it, and I can't believe it.
You mentioned Lavin at the town board meeting. I think part of him thinks because he's a Democrat, he can do what Sean Ryan's doing in Buffalo. And I'll tell you, I think a lot of people, even moderate Democrats in Amherst, are kind of getting sick of the current administration and would welcome some type of change in the town. I think you're going to see some people jump party lines in November.
I hope so, Joe, because it has to happen. This can't work like this. It can't. I mean, honestly, I've been retired now since 2016. My wife and I have a nice little home. But you know what? Every time, if they're going to be in control again, I got to get the hell out of here. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, it's.
We have to leave. We got to go someplace else. Depew, Clarence, somewhere else where we're treated like residents, where they listen.
Oh, and come on out to Clarence, Joe. You got Republicans running unopposed where I live.
I know. That's what I heard. I may just do that if I can get anything for my house by the time this is over. But anyway, when Gagliardo was on, he never mentioned, he was asked at the very end, who do I contact? Who should we get a hold of? He said, oh, my website. Of course. Of course, he's pitching for his website. He didn't say the Concerned Amherst Citizens Group, who are on top of everything. And the only reason why these guys watch their step a little bit, he didn't even mention it. So I don't know where he's at. And I don't want to talk against him because he's probably the only game in town for us right now.
No, I'm saying, Joe, I really hope that Republicans, independents, I get behind Gagliardo because, you know, Dan's really the first chance Amherst has had at a Republican in years. And, you know, the sad thing is, when I was a kid, I mean, it seemed like Amherst was always run by Republicans.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And you've got more knowledge of it than I will ever have. You lived here as a kid. We just moved here. We were in Tonawanda. What a mistake leaving there. But anyway.
Well, Joe, hey, I appreciate the call, man. Joe in Amherst. I tell this story all the time. When I was a kid in sixth grade, we did the kids vote in homeroom, and George Bush won the kids vote in Amherst, which I'm sure you couldn't do that at the Amherst schools now. George Bush won the kids vote, and the homeroom teacher said, I hope the adults are smarter than the kids. That's what she said. That was my first real look into a teacher putting their politics. And again, I had amazing teachers, okay? That doesn't count as one. She was just my homeroom teacher. But I had some amazing teachers in Amherst. I don't want to say 99% of the teachers I had in Amherst were lovely. They're the reason that I even got into college, and I love them and owe them so much. But that in sixth grade was my first look into a teacher that really let their politics get out in the open, and that was in homeroom. You know what I mean? To be fair, in high school, I was never in homeroom because I was hosting the morning announcements, which, yeah, I'm not going to say it. Tanner, it's Friday. I've been told so far the show is good. We're not going to say the last line out of my mouth. We're going to go to Lou in Amherst. Lou, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about this boondoggle in Amherst, the country club. I think this is the biggest ripoff and the biggest con job. That whole area is loaded with arsenic when they treated the golf course. They treated the golf course when they did the fertilizing. They're never going to be able to clean that up. They're just pouring money down a rat hole. It's a waste, complete waste of money.
Are you saying in the soil it's toxic?
Well, it's loaded with arsenic because in the early days they used arsenic on the golf courses for pest control. So now you got to clean all that up down to the depth of 1 or 2 feet or whatever it is. And now you have to make it good, so it's going to cost them a fortune.
Yeah, I mean, Lou, when you look at that property, it's been sitting empty now for about a decade. I mean, are you surprised that nothing's come of it, and that Amherst tried like 10 projects and all of them failed?
Well, the people, the Mensch group that unloaded it got a really good deal. And mention Yiddish means stand-up guy, but I think they were anything but. I think there was a lot of money exchanged under the table to do that deal between Culpa and Mensch, and I think it's a great big snow job.
Yeah.
It's a total waste of money. It's like Elon Musk when he bought that million square foot place in Buffalo. He promised all these jobs. 1,500 jobs, and we sunk $1 billion into that. For what? We got nothing out of it.
Yeah. But what's Amherst going to get out of this? I mean, how is Amherst going to benefit from the county-run golf course?
Nothing. It's going to go on hold for the next few years, and they'll blow a lot of smoke, and maybe Amherst won't have to worry about the tax burden or whatever, but that whole place is loaded with arsenic. So I don't know what they're going to do to clean that up.
That's interesting, Lou. We'll have to look into that. That's an interesting point. Thank you, Lou. In Amherst, 803-0930, *930. You know, hey, I'm not. I want to say this again. I'm not against golfing. I am jealous of my friends who can all get together on Saturday morning in the summer and go golfing. You know, my Saturday morning get together is college football. Right. That is when Saturdays mean the most. But I wish I could golf. I really do. So it's not against golf courses or anything. This is just to me a puzzling decision by a county that has so much other things that you think they could invest their time and money in. Again, we're talking about a county executive that continues to wants to borrow money for road repairs, but has no problem getting $7 million for a golf course in Amherst. And looking at all the stats of Erie County and where it ranks in the state, where it ranks nationwide, this is just an interesting thing for the county to put their money in. You know, the county, you know, we just heard on Tuesday, the county executive is, you know, doesn't begrudge rich people, wants rich people to pay their fair share. I know people who golf. Most people who golf are pretty well off, right? I mean, this seems like a project for the people that pulling cars said aren't paying their fair share. I don't know. A lot more questions than answers. With this project. 803-0930, *930, gets you onto the show. And we had a caller in the first segment. He talked about his love for bowling. And I just can't think of, you know, I watch a lot of these abandoned building videos. And there's one where they're walking through a bowling alley. And like the ceiling's caved in. And there's standing water on the bowling alley, on the lane. And all I can think of is a county-run bowling alley after like 2 years would look like that building. I know, I'm laughing at myself, and you guys are out there going, well, Joe, we don't see what the hell you're talking about. What? I know, I'm sorry. 803-0930, *930. We'll take your calls on this. Also, the Italian Fest starts this weekend. What is the best summertime event in Western New York? Taking your calls after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Live, local, Buffalo. All day long. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome back. If you're going to that show tomorrow at Darien Lake, why don't you stop by the Odyssey van? I'll be there having you spin the wheel and win some cool prizes. So if you're going to collect this hole in live tomorrow at Darien Lake, stop by. We're by the box office. You'll see the big Odyssey van. And then you'll see me in my WBEM polo. And we've got shirts, we've got pins, we've got sunglasses, just a whole bunch of things from Roswell Park and Odyssey. So make sure you come by and tell your old friend Joe hi. 803-0930 star 930 gets you on the show talking about this Westwood Country Club project that the county has now approved. I was saying $8 million. Sorry, it's a little over $7 million now that the county has approved toward this project. What do you think of the county getting involved? And what do you think of just the spending of some of these towns, like Amherst? Dan Gagliardo joined us in the first hour and pointed out, you know, some of the spending that Amherst has done where there's no development or there's no progress in months on the development. Just, in my opinion, wasteful spending. And then you've got the Boulevard project where, I mean, they ticked Jamal off to the point where he's backtracked the original plans. And, I mean, that is a really busy part of Amherst. You know, I will give Amherst credit. You look at Transit Road. You got a Harbor Freight moving in. You got a Rally Sport House. You got the Lowe's Plaza. They're doing fine on transit. But the Boulevard, Sheridan, right now, it seems like a mess. I mean, Costco, it's a one day it's coming, it's starting. The next day, hey, it's right down the line. What do you think? 803-0930, star 930. John in Holland is our first caller. John, thanks for hanging on, man.
Hey, Joe. Listen, I don't know when the last time I was at a concert at Darien Lake, but that bumper made me really think I should go to that show tomorrow night.
I think you should. It's going to be a great show.
I'll come get a shirt. Spin the wheel. You know, you hit something just before the break, though, that really it's sticking in my craw, man. We've been living pretty high on the hog in this county for the last 5 years with all the, you know, federal relief money that we've gotten and mismanaged. I mean, I said it to Tanner, you know, are they going to serve internet at this new country club, county country club, by ErieNet? I mean, if we're going to sit here and talk about just mismanagement of funds that we've had, how about the fact that we, like you said, we have to borrow money in this county to fix our roads, when we're given a surplus of funds, and so that we spend it just as foolishly. It's like we had a windfall and we didn't know what to do with it, so we just spent it on crap that we're never going to use. And here we are once again with the county getting involved in something that they probably shouldn't. So they get out of owning a portion of the stadium, but now they're just going to own more golf courses. They can barely maintain the ones they have.
That's true. That's true. And John, let me tell you, Erie Net, there might be a fiber optic wire going by the country club, but unfortunately, they can't find someone to actually get the hookup into the country club. So the most the county can give you is a wire they can point to outside.
You know, and it's funny because I got a notice letting me know that the road that I live on out in the glorious town of Holland, New York, is receiving the Erie Net wiring. And I saw the crews out doing the work, and I'm sitting there going, okay, 6 months, a year, 2 years before I get notice from Greenlight that maybe they'll come out there. At the end of the day, it's a beautiful idea, but why are you not working with a provider that actually wants to go out there? The truth of the matter is that there's a reason why fiber optics isn't offered in the rural communities, and it's because there simply isn't enough customer base to support the infrastructure, let alone the revenue that you're going to generate from people coming onto it. They got to come up with better options.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, John, municipalities can't do, if you build it, they will come. It just doesn't work that way.
You're right. I mean, it was a beautiful idea, but they should not have started laying wire until they had a provider. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. That's not the kind of thing where it's, if you build it, they will come. I mean, that's what Amherst thought with Station 12. Just because you laid wire up doesn't mean eventually someone's going to come and provide service. It's such a backwards plan for the county.
And the towns do the same thing. My first time driving on the 290 in months, and I saw the shell of what could be a possible Costco. But now, you know, you have a real possibility that it's going to move over into West Seneca because you're working with a developer that already has a vision in mind, and you've got people behind it. You've got a community behind it. I don't see people up in arms going, please give me all this stuff to the Boulevard and to Sheridan Drive anymore because it is so densely populated. Where are you going to cram this stuff?
Yep.
You have a brand new plaza going up right next to a failing plaza. Look how long it took for them to take the Northtown Plaza and turn that around, and all they did was move the DMV over there. Like can't even fix and use the infrastructure that we currently have, yet we live in this state, and really it's a bigger issue than just even our state and our county, where we have to build new things in order to support our own economy. Nothing gets repurposed appropriately, and we push away the people that actually want to. That last caller about Doug Jamal, that man was sinking money over hand and fist into our community, and what did we do? We put up barriers for him.
Of course.
So when he backs out and says, you're making it too difficult for me to redevelop, they would rather him build new because it's better for the business. And, you know, at the end of the day, our government has become for profit, not for the people.
I 100% expect the Costco in West Seneca to be built and open before Amherst. Amherst, the Dick's Sporting Goods it'll be ready. But the Costco, they haven't even laid down the first piece of infrastructure for that. Look in Clarence, John. Trader Joe's, in the time since Costco has, quote, been approved, they've torn down an Applebee's. And Trader Joe's, I wouldn't be surprised if Trader Joe's isn't open by the end of August. It's amazing how quickly some places work, and then Amherst and this Costco. Remember, originally was supposed to be open by this summer. It hasn't even started.
No, and it's funny because I don't like it going down political lines, but at the end of the day, it really does. When you start talking about what Clarence has and what a lot of these communities have, is they do have a very fiscally conservative group of people that are actually in control of their respective towns, and it is amazing how much more quickly you see projects coming to not just to the table from the, you know, from the inception, but to the groundwork being laid and actually being open because they see the benefit in it. But in any of the towns that have been primarily democratically run, at least in the last 20 years in Western New York, if not far longer, these projects take forever. They fizzle out. And then when they fizzle out, they just blame everybody else around them. They don't look and see what they can do differently the next time. They just move on to the next failed plan.
Of course, I mean, look at Station.
We stopped talking about Cuomo's Buffalo Billions after he started shoving all the old folk with COVID into nursing homes. Like, we ignored the fact that man was probably going to, you know, be put to trial for his misappropriation of $1 billion. And now we're sitting here pretending like it never happened. It's just on to the next thing for us. And it's just never going to change unless we sweep out everybody that's been doing it for 30 years and bring in some new minds.
Well, remember, Station 12, that was Amherst. Look what Amherst is doing. Amherst, Amherst, Amherst. As soon as it doesn't work, well, you know, we're trying to work with a developer. Well, we don't know. We don't know what happened. How quickly that turned to, look what Amherst is doing, to now it's all the developer's fault. Within 6 months.
It's so easy to blame a developer because, you know, they get backlogged, they get delayed. But if I was in business and you're telling me that you're not ready to move forward yet, I'm taking other contracts because I've got employees to pay. And I've got money to make and I've got food to put on my table. I can't sit here and wait for you to make your mind up. You know, one plus side for Station 12 is maybe they could just open up a Spirit Halloween and it's ready to be popped up everywhere around Western New York. Plenty of empty plazas.
Hey, John, I hate to burst your bubble, but Spirit has already selected the old Bye Bye Baby next to the Boulevard Mall as their location in Amherst this year.
Oh, yeah. Man, they jumped the gun. They should have waited. They could have gotten prime real estate for even cheaper from the town.
They could have gotten Station 12 where people would have gone, okay, where do I turn? John, thanks for the call, man. Have a great weekend. John in Holland, 803-0930, star 930. Sarah is in Cheektowaga. Sarah, thanks for hanging on.
Hi. I just wanted to piggyback on what the gentleman just said. A couple of things. Erie County is not interested in what's best for us here in Erie County. What are your thoughts on using the Erie County home to build basically a pot factory? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that one surprised me. You're talking about the vacant nursing home will now become an industrial marijuana farm for a dollar. The county got from it.
You know, $1.
I don't know too many of the specifics, but I can tell you this. I think New York State, when they legalized marijuana, I don't think they did it the right way. I'm not saying I'm against legalization, but I just, a lot of the way of the rollout of the marijuana laws in New York State, I'm already kind of uneasy about. And this,
absolutely.
And this, I don't know, how is Erie County benefiting off this? What's the next chapter? Are they getting so much of the profits? To me, on paper, it looks like an awful deal.
It's going to be awful for Erie County and the residents because there's going to be backlash and all kinds of problems with having a pot factory of that size located in our county. And speaking of the county executive, where was he on that? Did he object? Did he approve it? I'm sorry, I don't know the process. Because part of what you're talking about is the failures of, you know, Poland cars. What do you think about that? Should he not have come forward and said, hey, this is bad to the Rich Brothers. Hey, this is bad for Erie County. We're not going to do this.
Yeah, he is not quoted. He is not quoted in any of these pieces. So I am not sure what he said. There's a Frank Todaro spoke on this. We had a few other Republicans speak on this. But I have not heard what the county executive thinks of it. You know, but as we learned with the stadium, the county executive thinks it's a win if he can just get the county out of it, which with the stadium, I think he was right. But it is funny how he said, hey, we're not responsible for the stadium anymore, but now we're responsible for a golf course in Amherst.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're going to be somehow responsible for some of what occurs. I mean, how many acres is that nursing home? How many acres is the Erie County Nursing Home?
So it's 153-acre property.
Oh, my God.
And
I don't know.
It sat empty for 20 years.
Now, okay, flatten it. Flatten it.
Exactly. Exactly. But now they're getting a dollar to let these investors. And, you know, we've all seen this book before, right, Sarah? We've all read this book and seen this movie. Something will happen. The county will have to help them. I just know this all too well.
Yep, I agree. That's why I think Poland Cars, his priorities are in the wrong place.
Well, I think at this point in his career, Poland Cars is like, I mean, he's here for show, but we all know he's trying to get a job somewhere else.
Is that true?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I think Mark Poland Cars will take, if Kathy Hochul tomorrow said there's, you know, some obscure administrative job in her cabinet, he would run to it.
Well, I can't say on air what I think of the both of them, so.
Well, Sarah, point taken. Have a great weekend, Sarah in Cheektowaga. I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, Mark Poland Cars wanted Higgins' seat, and that is what his life goal was, is he wanted to be a congressman. And his friend, Jeremy Zellner, allegedly, his friend looked right through him and said, hey, Tim Kennedy, how about you How about you step in for Brian Higgins? And it amazes me. It amazes me that even after that, you've got Mark Poloncarz out there. He thinks the party loves him, and he will regurgitate the party talking points, and he'll go around to all these parties and take all these pictures. But the job he wanted, the party said, no, you're not the guy. I mean, do you know how, like, what a blow to your ego that would be? You're not the guy. And he thinks the job is waiting there for him. I don't know if he's got a deal where he's going to get Ryan's seat if Ryan is the next mayor. I think he wanted a job in the Hochul administration. That's why he waited so long to announce his reelection bid in 23. It looks like a man who wants a job anywhere else, but is holding on to this. And by the way, I know his office told us that he's not running for reelection in 27. He's holding that fundraiser for something. He wants something. He wants to be guaranteed something when he walks out in 2028. Because he wants the power. It's so obvious. The guy wants the power. He's not going to take some job where he's behind the scenes. He wants the power. He's going to attempt to go after one of these congressional seats, maybe. But that had to be a huge blow to his ego, because he thought he was in line to get the Higgins seat. He wins re-election. Higgins announces like a week later that he's stepping down. So the party looks right to Tim Kennedy. And Zellner even said, I'll have to find the article. Zellner even said that, you know, Poloncarz was upset about that. But yeah, he doesn't want to be county executive anymore. Middle management. Well, the weekend is almost here. And the perfect person to get you into the weekend is Tom Bowerly. He is up next. Tom, how you doing this Thursday?
Oh, party at my house, man. Everybody can come.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. But Joe, Mark Poloncarz, he has the power. He told us that a million times during the pandemic.
That's right.
I have the power. I have the power. Speaking of power, Joe, earlier this week, a judge in New York State said that, hey, there's nothing wrong with the gas ban on new builds. So that is going to be in effect as of December 31st of this year and into 2026. And that, of course, is for buildings under, seven stories. And then later on, the buildings of seven stories and older are going to be included in that. And there's also this story about electrified school buses. How much do you think electrified school buses cost, Joe?
Oh, millions and millions of dollars to set up the infrastructure.
A single bus is going to cost anywhere from $350,000 to $450,000. They could buy a Rolls Royce for the price of, seriously, maybe not the top of the line, but they'd get up there. They could buy a really fancy car for the money they're putting into these electrified buses. And just out of curiosity, I know that the state is giving, $200 million? You talked about this. $200 million for defraying the cost of electrified buses in New York State?
Yeah, first come, first serve basis, and they'll help with the chargers and everything that the bus will need.
How's that going to work out? Because the Greece School District, Rochester, they say that electrifying is going to cost just that one district up to $150 million. So you've got $50 million rest for the left of the state for the rest of the state. Good luck.
Yeah. It's an awful. I'm telling you, Tom, the district that goes all electric within 5 years is going to start buying gas buses again, especially in Western New York, Central New York, and upstate where it gets freezing cold. This makes no sense.
But you realize what's going to happen. I know you realize what's going to happen. First of all, the school districts are going to be gouging taxpayers even more.
Oh, yeah.
Because there won't be enough state funds. In other words, money they've taken from us anyway. There won't be enough money from the state taxpayer to buy these buses. So they're going to have to buy them at the local level, which is going to result in, I would think, an astronomical increase in school taxes. Not to mention the fact that the infrastructure is being upgraded, and the Public Service Commission has already said that, oh yeah, you electric companies, you utilities, you can pass the cost of modernizing the grid onto consumers. So the consumer is going to be hit with a double whammy. They're going to be hit with a ridiculous school tax bill in the future. Mm-hmm. They're also going to be hit with a ridiculous power bill in the future, and some of them are being hit with it right now. So this is really a serious situation, and I'm sorry, but I still remember the blizzard of December 2022. You were there, Christmas blizzard and the number of people who died in their homes as electricity went out. 120,000 people out of electricity. What, you know, seriously?
I thought that would wake up people in Albany, people locally especially, but it seems like they don't want a voice against the party. And, you know, Tom, I remember the blizzard of 2000 when gas buses were stuck on the roads when that blizzard, you know, so quickly hit as schools were letting out. Can you imagine if that was an electric bus? I mean, those batteries get so cold, they stop, the heat's turned off in the cabin of the bus. I mean, that could be a really scary situation.
Indeed. And I can actually remember the blizzard of 1878. We were covering it live here.
I just missed that one.
Yeah. No, it happened. But anyway, yeah, that's one of the things we're going to get into today. Also, I wonder how many people out there have had a rideshare story from hell.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You ever get into a rideshare where the driver is a smoker and their cigarette butts are in the cup holder in the back seat?
No, but yeah. I've had three bad experiences with ride sharing, although that has not deterred me from using ride sharing. I like ride sharing.
Oh, believe me, if I'm going out to have a couple adult beverages, Tom, the keys stay at home.
And that's because you're a very responsible young man, Joe.
I try to be, Tom. I try to be. Well, looking forward to your show. And, Tom, I hope you have the best weekend.
I always have the best weekends, Joe. I'll send videos.
All right. Looking forward to it. Tom Byerly up next after the news with Tom Puckett. Hope you have a great weekend. Hardline this weekend. We've got a packed show. Make sure you join us starting at 10 a.m. on Sunday. I'll talk to you then. Again, have a great weekend. And remember, if you're going to go out and have a good time, make sure you go out and have a good time. Just have a plan to get home before the good time starts. Talk to you Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.